This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is BFM 89.9. It is 6 o'clock in the morning, squarely 8th of January 2021. I'm Chuang, back with my blocked nose and all, to join two of you.
Welcome
Finally,
back.
We have a quorum in the studio.
Before
it was just you and I.
Yeah.
And we couldn't get any decisions past
three's
the...
Three is now a company.
Three is a company, actually.
Yes.
Yeah. Sindiran Buhat already, Sudha.
Just Sindiran Buhat or Buhat?
Can be both.
Can be both, right?
Either all, yeah.
It depends on how much money you're making. But anyway, yeah. Nice to have you back, Chuang.
You
it's
didn't miss
while.
Anything.
I was in Penang, la, and I can report on a first name basis, first-hand witness basis that business was tenuously back to normal. But then, I mean, it feels like Groundhog Day, man. I thought 2021 is going to be a, you know, kind of like return to normalcy, business as usual. But now, 3,027 cases yesterday.
Shocking. Every single newspaper is reporting it, actually.
Yeah.
Crazy. It's record high, and which reminds us once again, please practice your SOPs. You know, we really cannot keep our eye off the ball.
1.5 meters between you and me, darling.
Of course.
Do we have 1.5 meters between
Barely.
Right. So, as I shift away from Wong, I'm already a fair distance from you,
Philip. This is very uncomfortable silence between both of you at the moment.
It's been a while since I've seen Chuang.
Well, you didn't miss much.
Do I smell the same, darling?
Yes, you do. And like what Philip said, nothing much has changed. We still got the same government, despite many attempts to change that otherwise. We have changed. We have had higher COVID-19 cases, which is really sad when you think about it.
Jack Ma is missing 2 months now.
Yeah. Singapore Hyperia got cancelled.
Don't care.
Bitcoin 40,000.
No, but Bitcoin, I thought 34.
Exactly. 40,000. 40,000.
Actually, was it JP Morgan here of Jamie Dimon fame who said that it's a scam?
He doesn't believe in it. Yeah.
Remember he said that? And now they're calling for 150,000. It's mad.
146.
That's how Chinese girls get won over Chinese boys. So don't want to be racially profiling.
The minor thing you missed was an attempted coup in the US government.
I saw that as well.
Just a tiny little
thing. It's not a coup if everybody wants it, though. Do you know what I mean?
I don't know.
I don't think everybody wants it.
No, well, the rest of the world want it, right?
Not this attempted coup.
No, they want Donald Trump out, right?
Yeah,
as does the rest of the world.
Yes,
yeah, so actually, me specifically, la.
But gentlemen, what else do we have on? We're going to be talking about in a few minutes.
I shall ask Philip that actually.
Yeah, so interesting because we are heading into Chinese New Year. It's bonus season. Apple
got bonus this year.
No, la.
Nobody's going to get a bonus. Maybe Top Glove might get a bonus.
Top Glove people, maybe some industries will get it. The e-commerce giants might get it. But Apple has a very innovative way of how you reward executives based on your environmental credentials. So we're going to talk a bit about that later.
Okay.
That one's smoke and mirrors, la, mate.
No, la.
If you really wanted to have environmental chops, you would get rid of Foxconn as a supplier. But they don't, so come on.
Maybe this is
mutton disguised as lamb. But we'll discuss that later. What about you, Wong?
Well, we'll be talking about that so-called coup in Congress later on.
Right, and I talk about how young people should have more manners nowadays. So don't.
Are you referring to your children? Chaos and mayhem.
Yes, and destruction. Destruction is the wife.
Destruction is the wife.
I thought destruction is you, and she's
order. She's not listening to your call.
No, this early she doesn't wake up, so I'm quite free to say whatever I want until later, after 7:30. Okay, BFM 89.9. Don't go away. BFM 89.9. That was Led Zeppelin with "Tell Your Maker." That's my rendition. I'm Chuang, joined by Philip C and Wong Xiaoning. Now, this story about Apple from Reuters.com. How Apple is going more earthy. Get it? More Apple, more earthy.
Apple falls from the tree.
The apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, it's all about salary, right? As you were alluding to earlier, Philip. Now, tell us more.
Well, they will be modifying their executive bonuses based on 6 environmental values, right? Of which they include recycled materials and products, diversity of the workforce, privacy and security of its devices. And they're basically applying a modifier, a 10% plus or minus out from the bonus payout.
That sounds like a lot, lah. Initially, I was like, the weightage, maybe 1.5%, 2.5%. But 10%...
is quite a lot.
Headline number seems interesting, but then I'm not too convinced.
How do you measure all this?
Yeah. Corporations and what they say to appease shareholders and fund managers.
But I like it because it's carved outside your corporate scorecard.
So how do you know? Have you spoken to Tim?
I haven't spoken, but I'm assuming they have because it's a plus and minus from your bonus payout. So they agree on the payout, and then they measure this environmental credentials, and then they adjust it accordingly. So they've carved it out separately.
Oh, so it's a bit like having your gross operating profit, and then later on you kind of tax line. Right?
Yeah,
exactly. It's a different line, right?
Yes. I think what it is that all the normal, your expected KPIs are still there. So you still need to really have that return on profit. You need to achieve your sales targets, I guess, depending on what division you are within Apple. And then you get this considerate sales and service tax or VAT or whatever you want to say. Then this could maybe add or actually decline or decrease your bonus by 10% both ways. So if you comply, hey, we give you another 10%. If you don't comply,
so add back
then
la, basically, yeah?
Yeah, if you don't comply, then we take back 10%.
Take back la. But you make a very good point earlier that, you know, whether are these the right credentials? Are these the right values? Because if they're still going to commit all these issues along the supply chain, like Foxconn and so on and so forth, perhaps this is just a bit of a whitewash.
Yeah, because how far out into the ecosystem do you reach? I mean, direct employees, yes, contractors maybe, but then your supply chain, how do you enforce that? Especially if they sit in China. Do you know what I mean?
That's right. It's challenging on that side.
Yeah.
But if you read the article, I think what is interesting is that at the back of all this, all right, the background of this story is that there was a shareholder who went to
one.
I mean, it was like apparently there was a shareholder that was unhappy about how much Tim Cook was paid relative to the median employee at Apple.
Kind of mean Carl Icahn because he's a billionaire as well.
Yeah, okay. So Tim Cook's compensation was $14.8
million. Kind of 15 million.
Okay, yeah. I'm Chinese, remember? I tell you the specific numbers. And that is 256 times greater than the median Apple compensation of $57,783. So they apparently, you know, I suppose they want to come across as being fairer, but I'm not sure that having this additional environment is the way to be fairer. Mm. I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing to kind of have this plus minus 10% option. But if your objective is to kind of just detract from the fact that the salary of the big guy versus the average guy is so wide, it's not going to do its job.
Yeah. No, it's not. I mean, I've always been very disparaging about companies that say, oh, you know, we want to have our environment, we want to save the world, right? But we want to make profit at the same time. You can't have it both, mate. You either either save the world or you make money. You can't do both, right? Not when you pump out millions and millions of these devices, which ultimately have a limited shelf life. They've got to go somewhere. Where are you going to put them? In the ocean? You can't. Under the ground? No, you can't, right?
Well, this is the challenge of ESG. Because how are you going to build...
ESG
how do you make it sustainable and balance it between profit and
You know what ESG to me is, right?
What is ESG?
ESG to me is another financial metric which basically just drives valuation. They don't really mean it, lah. Mm. Come on. At the end of the day, right? If you're a shareholder, you want your company to make profit or you want them to save the world? Let's be honest here. Do you know what I mean?
Are you really... Although I kind of disagree with you, Chuang, because I think when you are a company, you have... It's true, I think, in the sense that your primary objective is to maximize shareholder value, right? I mean, that's the ethos. So in other words, it's about creating as much profit as possible. But in today's world, in 2021, I think the stakeholders you have is not just the shareholders. It's your own employees. It's the general public. So when you make these considerations in terms of, you know, what should the company do? What should the strategy be? How should the company focus on? I think it's not just your shareholders. You've got to consider the wider community.
Of course, and your staff especially.
Yeah, and you will be penalized by markets. And we see it again and again.
With TopGov, for example.
Very local.
When you don't consider the rest of your stakeholders. So it is good that, you know, companies are thinking about it. And even as us stakeholders out there, not necessarily even shareholders, just stakeholders, whether we put public pressure on companies to think about things more widely, I think that's not necessarily a bad thing.
No, it's not a bad thing at all because most of us are employees. We are the unwashed masses. But then I would love it to see how if, for example, the ESG funds were to react if the company were to go too much in the opposite direction. It's a bit like corporate governance and regulation and oversight. You have overcompensated. It takes too much time money and therefore you don't have much time to do your main business. It's the same thing with
the
ESG.
The concern if the returns begin to decline substantially.
Absolutely.
Right,
and then how you feel, right? Yeah, I'm saving the world.
And
we
then
haven't
investors
killed that
just pivot away from
exactly.
Yeah. I think for me, the thing that irks me is that they use this as a bit of a diversionary tactic from highlighting Tim Cook's salary. which is 256 times the median.
Actually, at the end of the day, 15 million US dollars a year. It's not a lot.
Actually, yes, that's
actually
true.
That's less than what Lim Kok Tae makes, right?
If you compare to all the billionaires and all that, and the value he's generated for Apple last year, it's quite small, but it's just relative to the median of the average employee size, right? I think that's what irks people.
Well, there's two things you can do. Either you can raise the median salary, or you can reduce the salary. For someone who's raised Apple's valuation from, what, $700 billion when
to
Steve...
To over a trillion, right?
Yes. 2.4 trillion.
Yeah, I mean, he's overpaid, actually.
Bob's not your uncle, man.
Yeah, maybe he might be a little bit unhappy when he considers how much he's paid versus Elon Musk, for example.
Absolutely. Elon Musk is, what, number two now in the
world? No. He's reached number one. He just knocked off...
Is that right?
Yeah, he just knocked off Jeff Bezos.
You're kidding.
Yeah, a company that only sells 500,000 cars a year has only just started to make money. But hey, you never know. That's the world for you today.
Well, that's the last word according to Wong Xiaoning. Don't go away. It's 6:15. This is BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. That was the Dap Kings and Sharon Jones with Just Dropped In. Sounds a bit like me, actually, after a few weeks of vegan idyllic Penang.
But we want you to drop in and stay in, Chuang. Don't disappear again.
4:15 in the morning is when the alarm goes off. That's deepest REM sleep, you know. A lot of people.
That's still one.
Depends on when you start sleeping, though.
That's also true, lah. That's also true. But what adult gets to bed before 10 o'clock? You tell me.
We do.
Okay. Changing the subject very quickly. Slate.com about how this kid in America, 6 years old, very rude. That circumstance, I think, is understandable because the mom is a bit of a... She's a bit dysfunctional. She doesn't have the mental ability that the six-year-old has. But I think in general, right, there's a six-year-old kid, or just generally children in America that are rude to their parents. And my response is this, right? In the Western world, which is full of matzales, right? The way they...
You don't say. Never mind.
Which is full of white people, right? Yeah. The way they raise children is very different from how Asian parents raise children. When Western children are rude to their parents, it's acceptable and it's seen as, you know, that the whole thing about discussion and mutuality and you know, being open-minded.
Level playing field.
In Asia, if your child is rude against you, hell hath no fury like a parent scorned, okay? Death will await that child.
Oh my gosh, Chuang, that sounds so ominous. That's not true.
I'm very intrigued by your parenting style and your parenting skills, actually.
You know what, Philip? I think there's boiled oil at home with sticks and spears somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. And
there's
pitchforks and there's bonfires and there's, you know.
Are they alive still?
Barely. Okay. But there's a pulse. Few. No. A pulse. But what I'm saying is that Asian families don't condone rude children. We just don't. It's not the done thing. It's not cricket.
Can I just say, on Sunday, I'm a Sunday school teacher.
You are.
And I teach 11, 12 years old about the existence of God and religion. And the number of eye rolls I get is incredible.
Yeah.
Right?
Did you behave like that when you think back, right? You wouldn't dare,
no,
right?
No, I would never
no
do
way.
That.
You would never
no
dare.
I would just say my seat and say, yes, teacher.
Yeah,
yes teacher.
Ma'am. Yeah,
yes, ma'am. Sure. But this time, oh my God, they're looking at me and it's like, what the world are you talking about? Or you don't know what you're talking about because I'm flipping out my mobile phone and you said this wrong, teacher. You should actually be correcting yourself.
Wow. You see, I was immobilized by fear one generation ago. Today, thanks to the internet, things have changed. I blame it on the information era.
But
right?
No, I think even... Okay. I'm not a parent.
All
I'm
a kid has to do is just ask Siri, does God exist? And then Siri will give one long answer, you know.
But I'm not a parent, but I think that nonetheless, and yes, the internet has changed things, but it's a question of respect, right, at the end of it all. Because let's face it, we don't have the answers for everything. And yes, parents can be wrong and will be wrong, or even teachers will be wrong when they're, you know, in engaging in children and giving them information. But it's that measure of respect, which I think is the challenge, right? How do you encourage your child to have that respectful conversation? Because I'm a little bit more modern. I don't think it should be the old school era where you are so scared of your teacher, so scared of your parents either. It doesn't work. You don't want that constant fear either. You want your child to be able to talk to you, but talk to you in like a proper manner. Now, that's the real challenge. How do you create that environment where the child knows you are still the parent, you still call the shots?
No, absolutely. And all parents, this is the first generation of parents who have had to deal with the information age in the form of smartphones, right? We ourselves are trying to deal with the pace of technology innovation. let alone parent a child who is given this device, which is essentially a supercomputer in their hands, right? And they're 10, 11 years old, and they can master these devices much faster than you or me will ever can.
Do you feel parents are threatened that the mobile phone is the alternate parent now?
That's
the source of information.
Yeah, it plays a surrogacy that is basically upending everything that we know about civilization, right?
And then do parents feel insecure because there's this alternate solution available?
We're not insecure about it. We're just having to deal with the fact that this device is so powerful and it's taking so much of their attention when in fact there are far more important things in life. I had this conversation with my son the other day, right? He is very vulnerable to device addiction, right? Less so my daughter, right? So I sat down with him. I talked about evolution, the survival of the fittest, Darwinism, how technology is outpacing the evolution of the human brain. Blah, blah, blah. I think it was all lost on him, but I didn't get eye roll because I can't say that on air.
The oil would have been flying.
Yeah, the oil would have been flying. But it is that challenge, lah.
Yeah, and I guess how do you nurture that conversation to say, look, you have to follow my instructions, but hey, still, this is my house and my rules essentially, right?
Until you turn 18 and you leave, right? So, I mean, I think this is an intergenerational question that we should ask all Malaysians. Bang Nan, so I think the WhatsApp is 018-789-8899. Or tweet us at BFM Radio. I think the essential thing is how do we handle parenthood in the 21st century? Okay, don't go away. Cleo with Letters to Cleo with Because of You, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, now is back with Think I'm in Love. This is The Morning Run on BFM. I'm Chuang and I've got Philip C and Wong Xiaoning right in front of me, staring daggers. Why are you staring daggers at me?
You're jealous after your long Penang holiday.
Yes. Tanned, fits, healthy. Not really. I ate so much.
A little bit rounder, but never mind.
A little bit rounder, don't care. 6:39, which means it's time to talk about Donald Trump. Now, he has promised, ironically, right, because this comes... Well, in the wake of one of the darkest days in American history, according to the newspapers, where hundreds, thousands of his supporters descend on Washington, Capitol Hill. Some died. And Trump has promised a peaceful transition to Joe Biden. I think January 20th, right? That's in 12 days' time.
That's too ironic. You know, it's less than 2 weeks and now he's proposing a peaceful transition. And in the news, I think a lot of the cabinet are considering impeaching him, even though he's only 2 weeks away from relinquishing his title.
Yeah.
It goes to show how severe and serious people take this news.
I think this is not the first time they try to impeach him, though. But I guess it's the point is here. You're president of the United States, the leader of the free world. And in your tweets, doesn't it come across as instigating people to go against authority, to storm one of the bastions of democracy in America, commit acts of violence to break into the house and threaten politicians, right, who feared for their lives because it was a very chaotic scene. I saw the news reels and if I was in there, I would be truly quite frightened because it's a mob violence, right?
And that's why its own cabinet is now considering impeaching him.
Well, 4 died, 68 arrested, and that's as of last count. I mean, what do you get when you basically elect a hoodlum to government? That's what you get. I mean, you know, like flies are drawn to, you know what I mean, right? Birds of the same feather, et cetera.
It's disappointing because, you know, in life, I'm always given the advice, in life, you either start well or end well. And for many of the Republicans,
ideally both,
but many Republicans said, I would have supported him because he had achieved a lot in their view, but he just blew it all away with just that incident. And now even the Republican Party is shifting away from him.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder what the postmortems will say about the Trump administration. I mean, he was one term, so that's quite rare already, right?
Yes.
But he actually did a couple of interesting things in terms of rejuvenating the American economy and things like that, right?
And he tried to even get the Middle East peace process going again. Yes. So there were some achievements, whether you liked it or not. And he was a consequential president. But this really has taken the cake and it's just reversed any generated goodwill he could have potentially have got.
I think for me, the one thing that will mark his end of presidency is the fact that he tried to attack what is clearly very American, which is the institutions.
That's right.
Now, I think all of us, you know, despite America having its issues, and I'm not saying it's the best country in the world, far from it. It has a lot of problems, one of which is that there's an increasing amount of inequality. Race relations are also all-time low. They're actually... So But at the same time, there are institutions within America which are respected, right? It's always been considered that the elections they carry out is a fair one, that, you know, the judiciary is free from interference, that the Federal Reserve acts independently.
Still independently.
But when you have a president that has no regard for this and actually tells people, yeah, they're all lies, you can't trust them, what are you doing? You're essentially eroding
the public faith.
Yes, which is so hard to build.
And one institution that Donald Trump famously had very much, very little faith in was the WHO. And the WHO, basically, we can see the COVID has just re-exploded. Japan, which is I think one of the first countries to congratulate Donald Trump on his presidency. Well, Japan and Tokyo is in a state of emergency now. I think daily cases in Tokyo, 2,500 new cases. That's why Suga, not very sweet about it, but he's declared a state of emergency in the capital of Japan until February the 7th.
And it is highly consequential to the economy because the Tokyo region accounts for one-third of the overall GDP of Japan. And when I look at the process or the measures he put in place, they aren't very tight, actually, and they can't even enforce it. And that's the challenge. And interestingly, he's even putting a sweetener and a subsidy to support the eateries that comply with rules on shortened hours as well.
Which makes me wonder, you know, because let's face it, there, you know, even our DG has said that we need to have another form of MCO, right? A more targeted one, because our cases are also high. Like we said yesterday, 3,027 cases. So far, we've had 128,465 infections based on yesterday's numbers. You know, the targeted one probably is likely. I mean, if the DG gets his way.
Well, but six red zone states, right?
Yeah, so will we then have something similar to Japan? But I think these are questions we will ask, later on this morning when we speak to Tan Sri Dr. Jamila Mahmood at 8:45. And also with the Galen Center, because I think the reality is that we need to flatten the pandemic curve. But what is the best way forward is going to be that big question.
Well, Japan's incidence, 0.7% of GDP for every month that this declaration lasts. So that's not the nicest number to have. What discussion would be complete about Japan if we didn't also talk about China? And corruption is top of the leaderboard there. Hui Bang. Yes. I'm just mangled his name. He's a former chairman of the nation's biggest policy bank, life imprisonment on charges of corruption.
There are two parallel indictments here. The first was him for essentially $13 million. But the earlier indictment was Lai Xiaoming of Huarong Asset Management, where he was condemned to death for receiving $277 million US dollars worth of bribes.
That's a lot of money,
That's a lot of dough there.
I just wonder whether that day will ever come in Malaysia where people who are basically thieves either die or get put in jail. I just wonder whether that day...
Because the indictments here were between 2009 and 2019. So it's quite a recent event.
Yeah.
And there are many parallels also in this country.
Did I just read somewhere that China is now Malaysia's biggest trading partner for 11 years in a row?
Yeah, it is.
Why don't we just take a page out of their book and just do...
But I'm not so sure because I'm a believer in the process of justice.
Justice and the judiciary.
There you go. Okay, 6:45. We'll come back after this with some social media and local news. Don't go away. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. That was Paul Weller's Style Council with a Shout to the Top, an 80s classic. I'm Khoo Soo Chong, joined by Wong Chan Ng and Philip C. Now, it's the time of the day or morning when we look at the social media as well as the local news. And I want to send a particular shout out to a gentleman named Stephen Mark, who has remarked in response to my discussion on parental management in the 21st century, very, very eruditely, saying that rotan them like how my parents rotan me. And don't give me no shade about child abuse. I didn't turn out broken.
I'm not sure.
I like that. We went to the same school.
Did you all go to the same school?
No, we didn't. But same school of parental management.
Ah, okay.
University of Parenthood.
Okay. Penang I'm not sure everybody went to the same uni. But on a not related note, which is regarding Trump, I think, of course, we were talking about the fact that, Congress was stormed. Mohan has WhatsApped in and said, And yet he's called world leader, question mark, question mark, question mark. I think we were questioning Mark this since 2016. So it's not a new question.
Yeah. Leader in his own mind, maybe. But
Leader that refuses to go. I think
Emperor with no clothes.
Yeah, yeah, emperor with no clothes, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so local news. I've got page 8 of the Edge Daily in front of me, my favorite morning read. Now, the plantation industry's favorite fortune teller, Dorab Mystery, has predicting that palm oil prices will fall dramatically in the second half. A prediction which no one else, a conclusion which nobody else will reach because he is the oracle of oil.
What's driving that decline?
Well, I mean, it's just gone up so much in the last few months.
It's a correction.
You know, it's basically Sir Isaac Newton's law, which he copped, you know. What rises must fall and what falls must rise.
Well, you know, like some brokers like to tell me, right, there's more sellers than buyers, that's why the prices come down, which annoys me no end, actually.
Yeah.
But, okay, looking at the Malaysian Reserve in front of me, the headline is, Malaysians warn against vaccine dependency as cases hit 3,027. So yeah, we, like I said earlier on, we achieved another record, and it's not a record that we should be proud of at all. And out of that, 3,021 were locally transmitted. So the point is, I think, you know, whether people just don't care anymore because they think, oh, the vaccines are just around the corner, so we don't have to really be careful anymore, which is not the case at all. So, you know, there are more and more Malaysians apparently growing complacent about it, and experts are warning the public against fully relying on vaccines, which are expected to be administered only as early as March. And you're not going to get yours so soon.
Well, to have vaccine dependency, you must first have the vaccine, right? It's all sequential. So,
and I think building on that topic, whether or not the vaccine is available, whether you are willing to take the vaccine is another point of concern.
Let's do a straw poll. Are you willing to take it?
In the Star newspaper today, page 6, a survey was conducted by the Ministry of Health. Over 212,000 respondents. Only 67%.
212,000 or 212?
212,000.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. Only 67% will take it. And that's actually below global benchmark of 74%.
So yes, there is some hurdle to overcome this vaccine hesitancy. And what is it? Those are interesting questions, right? Is it the lack of data? Are we not informing people clearly enough
India
about the messaging?
Didn't India just approve their vaccines without any trials?
That's India.
That's for the second vaccine, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the AstraZeneca was approved with the trials, but not the second one.
Yeah.
But I think we need to understand as a nation, why is there this vaccine hesitancy? What are people's concerns? And, you know, address them very clearly.
Well,
I think
vaccines
that will help in terms of maybe in the next time you run this survey, whether the numbers will be better. Because, yes, I mean, there is a social responsibility to take the vaccine because you also don't want to be a community spreader in the future. And the vaccines will only work if there's sufficient herd immunity at the end of the day.
There's actually an interesting correlation that once the vaccination takes place, vaccine hesitancy reduces, actually.
Yeah, so as with most things, right? But I think Anthony Fauci pointed out some weeks ago that there might be certain conditions, mandatory applications of the vaccine. For example, if you want to travel, right?
That's right.
Then you might be forced or mandated to take
event-based
immunized
compulsions, essentially.
But I think generally speaking, conceptually, you cannot tell people, I legislate of you to take, because there are side effects, and there are provable side effects.
I agree there. I think it's going to be very challenging to make it like mandated legally for everyone to do it. But you're right, it'll probably be event driven in the sense that if you need to go back to work, your employer might say, you need to have this vaccine because otherwise we won't cover you with insurance, for example. Or it might be some schools will say, if you don't have vaccines, you can't come back to school. Or I think now we're beginning to see like where countries say, if you don't vaccination cert, you might not be able to come to us for a holiday, or you might not be able to fly on the plane, for example.
It might come to that point.
It might come to the point to kind of moral sway people to kind of take the vaccines. But I think the main thing is any government, and for us, it's going to be free, okay? It's not a cost issue. It's an information issue, right? Information hurdle. How do we get people to know, you know, that this vaccine is going to be useful? It is going to prove effective.
Well, this early into the new year, it already feels like Groundhog Day. I think we've got time for one more local news item.
Yes. Well, if you look at the Star Biz, the MSWG, the Minority Shareholder Watch Group, is actually asking for moderators at virtual AGMs.
Very interesting. Divination, evanescent, right?
Because, that's right.
Because a lot of tough questions are ignored deliberately by management. Yes.
Or deflected
Or deflected. They don't even get asked.
Yeah.
Although he did make a point that current companies are actually allocating time for Q&A, but perhaps they sidestep quite fast the trickier questions.
Yes, yes, I've seen it in action where it just like it miraculously, like he answers it quickly and then they move on to the next question. So you can't even ask a follow-up.
Well, bring it on then. I think that's a great thing because everybody's doing virtual AGMs now, right?
You'll be so good at it, Chuang.
Don't like add fire to the fuel. Okay, 56 minutes past 7. We'll come back after this. Elvis Costello, Miracle Man, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.